welcome to the Garden Fork Radio Podcast. I appreciate you taking a minute to download the show. I'm here with my friend Rick. Hey, sir.
Good afternoon, Eric. This is one of our rare afternoon sessions, but yeah. It's wonderful to be with you.
We haven't started drinking, so that's a good thing.
So far, so good.
It's we're getting a snowmageddon here on the East Coast.
Again?
Up to 12 inches of snow, but who knows what will really happen, so we'll see what happens.
You can't stop it anyway.
Yeah. If this is your first time here, Garden Fork Radio is an audio podcast of what we like to call eclectic DIY. It covers cooking and gardening and home improvement and really interesting stuff that we want to talk about. And it's the companion to my Garden Fork YouTube channel, which is a video version of about the same thing.
Yeah. Well, and you just had a wonderful milestone on the Garden Fork YouTube channel.
Yeah, 100,000 subscriber mark. We just hit that on YouTube.
Okay.
I did not know you were a beatbox guy.
I do the best that I can.
So today we were going to have two health-related topics. I haven't really talked about it, but one of my Labradors has been having a real problem with her rear legs not working.
Oh, which one?
Charlie Pup. And then we were going to talk about the wonder of modern medicine and the fact that Rick can see again. But a while back, Charlie Pup's, her basically back legs, if she would like come spinning around the corner of the house, inside the house, we have wood floors, just her whole rear end would just end up on the floor. And she was just like her back end was drunk, and her front end and her personality and everything are 110% is just her back legs weren't working very well. So we thought it was her hips, because Labradors have hip dysplasia. You know, it's a trait.
Mm-hmm.
But her bloodline did not ever indicate for that. We took her to our vet, and within like seconds, our excellent team of veterinarians there at the Sand Road Animal Clinic, the doctor walked in and just said, this is neurological. It's not your dog's hips. So we went down this path of, first of all, our doctor is called the Animal Medical Center in Manhattan, which is like the Mayo Clinic for animals.
That's a good reason to live in New York City.
Yeah. And we've actually been there before with Henry. Henry had an eating problem, and, they said, we'll keep her crate rest for a week and then bring her in. And I'm like, how do you crate rest a Labrador? So we actually had what's called confined rest. We kind of had her fenced in by the front bay window so she could look out the window and sunlight would come in. And our other Labrador, Henry, I made Henry stay with her because they're bonded, you know.
Sure.
So after a week of that, we took her to the neurosurgeon at the Animal Medical Center, and we're in the waiting room, and I can load this because I live in New York City, but the doors open, and it just looks like a live version of a New Yorker cartoon. You know, there's a rooster, there's an iguana, there's a parrot, and then there's a bunch of people with yappy dogs.
Any cat toys?
There were cats there. Yeah. And mm-hmm. My two are kind of country dogs, you know, they bark at everybody else. And I've got them wedged in back behind the soda machine so they don't snap at everybody else, you know, but, we met with the neurologist and a super great lady, Dr. Lebowitz. And she said, you know, we could do an MRI today and decide whether to operate or not, or you could rest her for 3 weeks, confined rest again, just minimal leash walking, and then we'll see. Sometimes they just get better. So that was an endeavor, actually, trying to keep her calm for 3 weeks. They actually gave us some trazodone for her, which I started to use because at the end of the day, she just got wound up when my wife was coming home. And, but that trazodone will just kind of lay them flat. So that was good.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, this is, kind of reminds me of, this is a dog that, always insists that you throw the ball, right?
Yeah,
throw the ball, throw the ball, throw the ball, throw
the ball.
Energy
dog.
This is not a lab that just takes laying down and doing nothing lightly.
Right. So it was almost a full-time job for me. And by week three, I said to my wife, I said, I do not see any improvement here. And I am a believer in just, I've been through back surgery, I've been through physical therapy, I've been through a lot of back issues, and rest certainly helps, can cure things. So we went back and they did the MR. They did an MRI, a sonogram, and a full set of X-rays.
Are you now living in a box on the sidewalk of Brooklyn?
No, but they take your credit card before they see your dog. They're very good. They're fantastic. Yeah. So I'm like, okay. And now they're going to have to operate because it's like a pinched disc or a stenosis or something. And then I'm going to have to keep her quiet for another 6 weeks. So I'm just not looking forward to any of this. And then we met with the doctor at the end of the day, and Charlie's all pretty dopey. You know, they knocked her out for the MRI. And it ends up, they think that she had a mini stroke.
Oh, really?
And that it caused a partial diminished control of her back legs.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we don't have to do anything. She's just going to have drunk back legs.
Ooh.
And that's fine. She's totally happy. She can run, get around. We have more carpets in the house that I would like to have, you know, like floor runners, because we have all wood floors. And we just have to monitor her when she goes up and down the stairs, because we just want to make sure she doesn't fall down the stairs.
Right. So she still is displaying this weirdness with her back legs.
Yeah, her legs are still a little wonky, but she's happy.
That's interesting. In humans, there is something called a transient ischemic attack, TIA, and part of your face or an arm or something won't work for about 15, 20 seconds usually, and it passes. And it's a mini stroke in the end. And I was when you said it was a stroke and that she'd kind of gotten over it, I thought maybe it had passed for her, but I guess not.
I mean, it could improve. You never know. People and dogs are pretty amazing. So
yeah. Well, you know, I had a three-legged dog once, and I finally decided I wanted to live my life like a three-legged dog. It doesn't whine and complain and wish about what was or what could be. He just got up and he did it every day. It was just like nothing had changed. He adapted and he went forward. And I'm sure that Charlie Pup's going to do the same thing.
Yeah, she's great. We're just going to kind of change things around the house a little bit. And we got a dog ramp. And I will link to the dog ramp we got. I did quite a bit of research. My sister has one. And I got one that's telescoping. It's made by the same company, but it's aluminum and it telescopes and it has almost like sandpaper grit on the ramp. But the big thing is you can't just extend this thing and put it on the back of your car and say, okay, get in. You have to acclimate them to it. So I put the thing in the backyard and let them just stand around on it. And then I used dog treats to get them to stand on it while it was flat on the ground. And then I raised it up. We have this little ledge in the backyard, and I got him to walk up and down that with treats, always rewarding with treats and being very positive. And then I put it up in the back of the car and broom, they went right up it.
Wow. You know, I forget, is Charlie Pup the blockhead or the peanut head?
She's the blockhead. She's the younger
one. She's the blockhead. You might want to explain that to listeners.
Well, I don't know. It's just in my vernacular of Labradors, at least in our town, when we talk about all the labs, because they're all related, you know, if they're a blockhead, they kind of almost like a pit bull, like facial structure. And if they're a peanut head, they have kind of a thin face. And Henry is a peanut head and Charlie Pup is a blockhead. So,
and since you mentioned that, I started looking at our dogs and Button is a blockhead and Darcy is a peanut head. And I just never had thought about it in those terms.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a local thing. But in our, you know, in our town, we could say, oh, you know, have you seen Dozer? He's kind of a blockheaded black lab because Dozer gets out all the time and runs around the town. Dozer is actually Charlie Pup's father. You know, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. If anyone else has words to describe their Labradors, let me know. It's radio at gardenfork.tv. We have two viewer mails to read actually later. So
I have a word to describe your Labradors. That's not head.
Hey, real quick here. I was wondering if you wanted to join the Garden Fork email list. It's Maura Eric. I don't know if you want that or not. But the best way to do that, if you go to the gardenfork.tv site, there are signups all over the place. There should be one on every page. Also, in the show notes for this show, if you're listening to it in the iTunes app or one of the other podcast app, to click on the little, I think you click on the little text thumbnail of the show and the notes will pop up and there's a link in there. Or just go to gardenfork.tv and there should be a sign up there. All right. Thank you. So in the meantime, you had mentioned a while ago that, you were going to have a cataract surgery, and then I forgot that it was happening until you posted a picture of yourself.
Right. Yeah. Polyphemus, the Cyclops from the Odyssey. That's who I looked like. I did this to myself. We can use this as a Garden Fork cautionary tale. I did away with my fluorescent grow lights, and I do all my growing here in the bedroom where I kind of have a little office set up. I replaced them with LED grow lights, the broad spectrum, mostly red and then some blue and lots of shades of red and blue. But there were two that were especially bright in each of these lamps that I hung, and I sat in there all winter long, two winters ago, with these lamps, and it finally dawned on me to pull out the manual and see what I was sitting with, and it turned out those were unshielded UV, and so I was dousing my cataracts pretty good, apparently. And what started off as you got a little touch of cataract going on there, very quickly became, you know, I was beginning to drive here until we did this, just like Mr. Magoo, you know, in the cartoons. I have to get close to the street signs to see what they were. And then I'd make a kamikaze dive across eight lanes of traffic to make the turn. And I thought probably I should get something done about it. And that's how we ended up today. We did the left one on Monday, and I'm looking forward to getting the right one done pretty quick.
So is it more anxiety than pain? Are you just kind of, because they're going to slice your eye open, basically? Oh,
yeah, there was really none of either. This is one of the great miracles of modern medicine. You're talking about the veterinary miracle for Charlie Pup. I was not aware how badly I was seeing everything, including colors, until we pulled this left lens and then slid a new one in there. By the way, post-op, first visit, day after the surgery, it was 20/20. So he picked a good lens for me. But the color change, it's like in my left eye, it's like looking at a brand new newspaper compared to with my right eye looking at newsprint that's 20 years old. It's that yellow and discolored.
Wow.
So the change is just amazing, and it has really helped me. I can remember my grandfather had bad cataracts. You could actually see the cloudiness in his eyes, and there wasn't a lot back then because there wasn't insurance and whatnot. There wasn't a lot that he could do about it. And he spent most of the later 10 or 15 years of his life kind of useless. Couldn't watch TV, couldn't read the paper, couldn't do things outside very well. Always had to be accompanied. And this gives new life back to somewhat older eyes.
So could you just walk us through it briefly? I mean, so what is a cataract?
Oh, in your eye, the outer layer is the cornea, and there's a pocket, an envelope that has the lens in it. And when you're young, that lens is very pliable. And so you can read things close up. You can look at minute detail. You can see things far away. And there are muscles squeezing that lens to shape it so to get the right concave function to see what you want to see. As you get older, that lens becomes old and stiff and a little, well, not brittle, but it's stiff. Mm-hmm. And so you can't bend it anymore. And that's the reason your 40th or 45th birthday always comes with a delivery of reading glasses.
Yep.
Because you're going to need to, you can't bend your eyesight like that anymore. And so that's what had gone kind of sour on me. But it also, because of the UV light, mostly, I think, but just because of age, they were beginning to cloud. They were changing color. Think of it like an old plastic. You know, for a long time, the plastic looks great. And then after a while, it begins to be milky and kind of faded. And so it has a color difference, which in my case was kind of yellowish, I guess. And as soon as we've just made a tiny, they're doing eye drops. And you don't feel a thing. You don't even feel pressure at all. And you're awake during it because they need for you to, look left, look right, look up, look down, that kind of thing. And they just make a tiny little incision on the side of your sclera, reach in there. It's called microsurgery. They reach in there, and if they can't pull the lens out whole, they will break it up with a ultrasonic wand and then vacuum it out.
Wow.
And then in my case, the back of that capsule that the lens was in had some gunk on it. And so he took some time and kind of like took a paint scraper to the back of my eye and got that gunk off of it and vacuumed that out, popped in a new lens. I forgot to ask him, but I think it's self-sealed. And they, it was over in 20 minutes.
Wow.
So the prep and the dressing and all the stuff before and after took a lot longer than the actual surgery.
That's amazing.
Oh, it is. You know, there was a poll several years ago, and the most important inventions man had ever made. And it came out number one was the stirrup, and number two was bifocals, because it allowed older people, when they hit that 45-year mark, to be able to still function and compete with the younger people. Uh-huh. And this is the next high water mark. My eyes, once we finish this, will be just as really as good as they were when I was 40 or 45. So I'm just thrilled, and I'm looking forward to getting the other one done.
Yay.
Yay, no kidding.
Well, if you want to look on our Facebook group, there's a picture of Rick. And by the way, if you go to gardenfork.tv/community, I did a little redirect, so it'll take you to our discussion group, because the discussion group can be hard to find on Facebook, I've discovered. So gardenfork.tv/community. So,
right. And you'll have to sign up, but the only reason we do that is to keep the spammers out. Virtually everybody who's not a spammer gets admitted right away.
Yeah. So I have missed the bulk of the maple syrup season because I've been containing my Labrador. But I did manage to go visit a friend of mine who built an improved version of our file cabinet evaporator. And I posted a video about that. And I actually might post another evaporator video. I might build another one and then use it next year, but I just wanted to do it. But from Kevin, Mr. Casey, wrote me an email, and he said, we were talking about trying to be most efficient with the heat that the fire is creating in what's called an arch, an evaporator arch, basically. But he says, hi, Eric, if you're trying to keep heat on the bottom of the evaporator trays, is it possible to install a vertical baffle hanging down from the top inside the firebox at the end of the tray? This should make the heat linger longer, or move the chimney from the top to the middle of the back of the box. Lowering the exhaust port should also keep the hot gases inside the firebox longer. Love the show, Kevin. Kevin always ends his emails with love the show. I like that. So yeah, I mean, that's there. I don't know if it's a science, but it is a big topic of conversation among maple syrup boiler people about the thermodynamics of your evaporator and arch. The arch is the part that holds the fire. The evaporator is the tray that sits above it.
Right.
And yeah, you could put a baffle there. You could weld one in. You could also just take fire brick and mound sand around the fire brick. So it's kind of like a ski mogul. The goal, from what I understand, is to create turbulence and not a straight shot. So the more turbulence there is, the more the heat will linger and transfer some of that heat to the evaporator tray rather than just going straight out your chimney stack. So yeah, spot on there, Kevin. It's like, boom, you know?
Yeah, I'd think that you would benefit from top and bottom. Now, I have no experience building these kind of trays, but I do have experience in the sailboat business. And all of our water tanks and gas tanks are baffled top and bottom, and depending on how big they are, several times, so that the liquid cannot so liquid cannot build up momentum and break the tank loose or slam it out the side of the boat or whatever when you're in rough water. So you would think top and bottom would be helpful, and moving the exhaust about as low as you possibly can to make it, you know, build up at that last point and have to go back down and up.
Yeah. And it's the kind of thing since you're boiling sap, you could just stare at it for a while and experiment, you know, cause you're boiling for days. So
like I said, you know, all you really are doing is being a honeybee, and I'd rather have the bees do it myself.
Yeah. So the next one is a little longer. And of course I know I'm very good at mangling when I'm reading out loud, but here I'm going to try this. Okay.
All right.
Hi, Eric. I just wanted to write you a quick note thanking you for the great content that you share with the world through both YouTube and through your podcast. I ran across your YouTube channel this past fall as I was researching all things maple syrup. My wife and I purchased a house in East Hartland, Connecticut last year, which is near me. And since we have the space and resources, I wanted to at least collect sap for our friend that already had an evaporator. Once the taps went into the trees, my wife indicated that we should just follow the process the whole day. And as an engineer by trade, I couldn't let that opportunity pass to build an evaporator.
Oh, my God. Engineer has infiltrated Garden Fork.
Wait till you
we'll
see
never
the
be the same. Oh, no. Yeah, of course.
Over a few days, I was able to acquire a file cabinet for free. And following the ideas you presented in your videos, I put together what you see in the photos attached, which is like an engineer-built evaporator. I can only boil on the weekends, so now we've had two boils with sap from 11 taps, but this weekend we're going to boil the sap that we've collected on buckets and lines from 25 trees.
Oh, my.
Boil rates are averaging 3.5 gallons per hour, and we've made some tasty syrup. Yeah, that's about right, 3.5 gallons per hour. Being the technical person that I am, I couldn't help but mix hobbies. And since I wanted to collect sap in 5-gallon water jugs, those are the kind of water jugs you buy that sit on top of your water cooler thing, the blue ones he's talking about. I decided to design and 3D print custom bottle caps that had holes in the top that fit the drop line tightly to keep as much rain and debris out of the bucket.
Wow.
I could have just drilled a hole in the caps that came with the buckets, but where's the fun in that?
Of course.
The world of 3D printing brings complex fabrication of plastic components accessible to basically anyone, and the technology is really impressive. So Jonathan has a 3D printer.
Yeah, I guess so. Well done, sir.
In closing, I'd like to express my gratitude for the knowledge you've shared and then the way you present it. Fun to watch with just enough technical information to get going. Is that a compliment or is that a, you don't know what you're talking about?
No, it's just enough technical information because that's all the information we had was just barely enough.
If you'd like to discuss anything related to maple, 3D printing, radio-controlled aircraft, or topics, just let me know. I hope your maple season goes well. We'll get to see more great content from Garden Fork. And that's from Jonathan. And he has a company called Sawncraft, S-A-W-N-C-R-A-F-T. Put that in your search engine. It's sawncraft.com, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, sawncraft.com. Radio-controlled airplanes and the like that are fabricated from 3D printing and CNC cutting. Really neat airplanes his company builds. So, yeah, wow. He sent me some pictures, and this is like the very much an engineered file cabinet evaporator. But that was fun. It was kind of because I got this and I wasn't able to do anything with my SAP, and I got a neat email from someone that had kind of taken our idea and run with it. So that was cool.
Yeah, I'm surprised that his steam table wasn't heated by thermonuclear radiation or something, you know?
Thermofission.
That's it. Fission. Yeah, he's got cold fusion down. All right,
now we got to stop making fun of engineers because they're the reason you can see.
That's true. That's really true.
So there you go. That's our show today, guys. And we have a new executive producer who emails me regularly now with things that he tells me to do. I don't know if you know the Gutsmeister, Jimmy Gutz, who is on the Book Guys podcast and been on our podcast several times. But
yeah,
he's now our official executive producer because he emails me every week and tells me what I should and should not do.
I got a whole list. You ignore me. If I remember right, you ignored our last producer. So, you know.
All right, everyone. So if you want to find us, if you just type Garden Fork and we'll show up. If you just swipe across the logo, if it's playing on your podcast app, the text should show up with a bunch of links to my world. We have a dedicated shopping page on Amazon now. If you do shopping on Amazon, there's a whole list of suggested items that I think are good products from Amazon. You can start your purchasing from that page. That'll be great for us. And you can just find us on Facebook as well. So just go to gardenfork.tv/community, and that'll bring you to our discussion group. Anything else, sir?
No, I think that's it for me. The nor'easter kind of passed by us, but it looks like it's bearing down on you.
Yeah, we had about an inch of snow here, and it's supposed to dump again. So we'll see what goes on. So
okay.
Make it a great day, everyone. We will see you later.
Okay. All right. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Garden Fork's theme music is used under license from uniquetracks.com.